and welcome to the 361 Degrees podcast, episode 5. Can you believe we've made it this far? My name is Ben Smith from Wireless Worker. Who the hell are you?
I'm Rafe Blanford from All About Symbian.
I'm Ewan McLeod from Mobile Industry Review.
And, well, we're here, down in the basement bowels of the Cumberland Hotel. We've just been seeing some exciting consumer electronics products, so how very exciting. And we've slipped away into a quiet room to have a quick conversation about all things BlackBerry. You are fresh off a plane back from BlackBerry World, and you're going to tell us all about the exciting news that happened, and then I'm going to tell you that it's rubbish.
Thank you. Yes, amateur hour is over. I want to be very clear. I'm referring to the big poster at BlackBerry World in Orlando, pointing out that the iPad, the Motorola Zoom, and anything else is utter rubbish. This is the marketing that we're beginning to see, the bold, brash, direct marketing from RIM, highlighting the playbook. I think it's fair to say BlackBerry World this year was all about the playbook. There was a handset announcement, talk about that in a minute, but the playbook was the focus. That's what everyone really wanted to hear about. And you know what? It has been a long time coming. When was it announced? Do you remember, Rafe, when it was announced, the playbook?
I think we first heard about it in sort of autumn last year.
That's right. Back in the Middle Ages, wasn't it? Yeah. All right, so look, let's quickly just remind ourselves what was announced, and right. Then we can talk about why it's rubbish.
I'm seeing a theme here, Mr. Smith.
Look, I have a bucket of negativity with your name on it, because I have to say I'm really not impressed with where RIM is at the moment. But look, let's talk, because there is some good stuff.
Yes.
There is some good stuff. But, you know, let's talk through it over here.
Okay, well, yeah.
What's the playbook? What the hell is the playbook?
Quickly, playbook, people don't know. Right, that is a 7-inch tablet running QNX, which is their new operating system. It's gorgeous, very new, and very, very smart.
And BlackBerry bought the Astonishing Tribe, which is some clever Swedish design people, aren't they, who've made it look fairly pretty.
They have done some...
Are they Swedish, Rafe?
I'm not absolutely
sure. Scandinavian.
From somewhere kind of up and right a bit on the map, they make things pretty, and I do like that bit. So.
Oh, and really, it is some of the features on the device are looking very
smart.
It's great.
It's got the best-looking calculator application ever.
Oh, my God. You're negative as well.
No, I'm serious. It's calculator.
Well, we'll move on then. We'll get to the negativity shortly.
Okay, so we've got a playbook in front of us, which you're kind of waving around. I mean, I don't think it's actually doing anything at the moment.
But, I need
half
to configure
the course of the playbook.
Okay. Right. Oh, dear me.
So we had the playbook. There was also a handset.
Handset, and just one handset, one handset with a variation. The 9900, that is a new BlackBerry Bold. It's an evolution or replacement for the BlackBerry Bold 9780, that's the latest version I've got, yeah. Gorgeous looking device. It's really, they've done a lot with the look of the device to make it rival, I think, the top level HTCs, the top level iPhones that you're seeing. It's got a lovely, what do you call the side of the phone? What's the metal bar on the iPhone called?
Edge.
Oh, jeez. Do you know what? That's what I wanted. That's the word I wanted.
The edge.
It's got a lovely edge.
It's got a lovely edge.
Sorry. It looks really, really nice. Now, for any fans of the BlackBerry Bold series, the BlackBerry Bold 9000 was quite a wide... I don't know if you remember. It's quite a wide phone.
Yeah. It had a really quite a big keyboard, didn't it?
Yeah, quite a large screen as well.
Business people have fat fingers.
Right. And business people loved it. I loved that keyboard. It was so fast on that particular QWERTY keyboard. They've brought that back. So it's a wider Bold. It's very nice.
And I think the most interesting thing you haven't mentioned yet is actually also a touchscreen device. And it's
indeed.
That first in that kind of... I mean, BlackBerry have done the Torch and the various other... Storm, which I guess is a device we should not mention because
no,
it wasn't the most
universally
admired.
Please, could you get up and walk out, please? We don't mention the Storm.
Okay, fine.
Or the Storm 2.
And it's interesting that kind of combined QWERTY keyboard plus touchscreen. Actually, it's obviously very similar to what Nokia just announced with the E6. So I think it's quite interesting to see that trend coming into the market. Two really big manufacturers, in fact, the two biggest smartphone manufacturers, still just, have actually announced, you know, what is effectively a new form factor that we haven't seen before. And so what did you make of the sort of touch implementation? Did that add something to that, you know, that bold form factor, which is, after all, kind of the most popular of the BlackBerry devices?
Right. If you are... if you're a regular BlackBerry user and you're using it for messaging, I don't know if it'll add too much to your your joy off the device because you're usually attached to the keyboard. However, where it is nice is when you're swiping, right? You're swiping, or if you just want to press something, because you know sometimes the BlackBerry you have to scroll to get to a particular menu option. Like that now disappears. You can tap and you can swipe and do some nice things. That is quite useful.
So it's that in things like browsing and multimedia content and sort of lists,
showing
your
pictures
like that.
And that, those kind of things. Yeah, it's really nice.
And it's also got this device has got a better camera built in now, hasn't it? It's got a relatively quite a fast processor and
more memory,
but also crucially it's got NFC built in as well.
Totally did demonstrate NFC, and that was pretty nifty, quite nice. I mean, we'll have to wait and see precisely what that's going to do, but the opportunities are, you know, becoming
and crucially, but we'll come back to this in a minute, it's running BlackBerry OS 7, which is different from what's in people's hands at the moment.
That's
and
right.
It's different from what the playbook is running, because you can never have too many operating systems. But anyway, before you get a chance to respond on that one,
we should also mention there's Balance, which is a new software element, which I think is quite an important part of the BlackBerry offering. What's that, Ewan?
So BlackBerry Balance is targeted at enterprise who are wanting their employees to be able to bring their own phone or use their corporate device for personal use as well.
Yeah, so this is quite a trend now. Loads of people are talking about BYOD, bring your own device. And the idea here is that a generation of digital natives, that's people like you, people like us, basically, people who've grown up with digital technology. Ray thinks we're too old to be digital natives. He might be a digital native. I've got some words for you I'm going to share off the podcast.
Yeah.
So a whole group of people have grown up with, you know, without ever not having kind of smartphones and computers around. So they're going to want to use their own devices, not whatever a company gives them. And the idea here is that companies are going to now either subsidize or just allow people to bring their own phones in. The trouble is there. You can't have them hooking up to your server with all your sensitive email data on it unless you've got some control over it. Today, most businesses, if they let you hook up your own device, take over complete control of your device, in which case your personal stuff might get mixed up and deleted and lost if your administrator deletes it.
Yes.
And BlackBerry Balance has like two buckets on the device, doesn't it? And it's a me bucket and a them bucket, and never the two shall meet.
So if I'm the CIO of a particular enterprise, I want to know that my data or my company's data is completely controlled. So I don't want you, for example, to receive a work email and then be able to cut and paste it on your device and send it out via personal account. So your Balance stops all that, and it gives a lot of comfort to the security officers.
And for me, when I resign my job and I go and work for another company, my IT department administrator hitting delete on my account doesn't wipe out all my apps, my personal email, my pictures, that kind of thing. Because that's quite crucial for me.
Totally.
Because that's at the moment, most IT administrators are winning. They're the ones who will get control of my device, even if it belongs to me.
And this is really important because we're getting to the point now where smartphones are becoming really commonplace. So the fact that people already have a smartphone in their pocket is not unusual. One in four of every mobile phone sold is a smartphone. And, you know, it's avoiding that sort of annoyance of having to carry multiple devices with you. And it's really, you know, it's overdue, frankly.
Two other things that were announced quickly. First of all, BBM, the sort of infamous BlackBerry Messenger, is being opened up.
Right.
And, I mean, I never thought we'd see the day. But basically this secure kind of push instant messaging platform, which frankly a lot of people buy the BlackBerry for, outside of the work environment, people buy the BlackBerry for because they really like it, particularly loads of teenagers.
It's free.
Well, it's free, but it's also it's secure. It's got loads of sort of pictures and location built in. It's a very elegant solution. I have to give them that. That they're opening that up now, so they're giving away the crown jewels so that anybody now can develop.
Or are they enhancing the crown jewels?
We can talk about that in a minute, but you're wrong.
It's like a Daily Mail, isn't it?
No, so not like the Daily Mail. BBM's being opened up, so other people are going to be able to use the APIs and access that system. And then more potentially sort of more important for businesses, what's going to happen is that BEZ, which is BlackBerry Enterprise Server, which is the server that businesses put next to their email server that does all the synchronization, push, clever technology to get email and stuff on your phone. It also does all the management of your BlackBerry, and that's going to be really cool because that's actually one of the things that BlackBerry has had unique, as everyone else has caught up, managing a BlackBerry, controlling the data on it, the apps, what it does, what it can do, is still quite controllable. That's now going to be extended to all the other sort of manufacturers and devices out there. So you're going to be able to manage iPhones and Android and Nokias as well, Rafe, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, BlackBerry haven't been exactly specific on what will be supported, but the clear message is it's going to be cross-platform, so it's your one-stop solution for device management and email.
And this is crucial because loads of people, even businesses that don't have tools to manage mobile devices, now are thinking they need to get them, and BlackBerry want to be there front and centre, having their tools use them. And hell, if you're buying a BlackBerry server, why wouldn't you just buy some BlackBerry devices as well? So there's a bit of a sales pitch there.
Well, and I just remember there's lots and lots of companies that have some kind of BlackBerry enterprise server somewhere. And the ability to just go tick, it's a Microsoft factor, right? You know, when you didn't get shot for buying Microsoft, and you're not going to get shot for buying or enhancing your BlackBerry Enterprise server.
And talking of Microsoft, there was actually a rather surprise guest on the stage at BlackBerry World, which I know Ben said we were going to move on, but I think we should mention this one last piece of news out of BlackBerry World.
Oh yes, because I forgot that Rafe is now all about Mr. Microsoft. Don't you?
It's just a new rebranding.
It is. It's all about Rafe Blanford and Microsoft. So the Steve Ballmer pitched up and did his shouty presentation routine, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, when Mike Lazaridis, the co-CEO, he was chatting away, and he said, "Well, I've got another announcement, and it's Microsoft." And everybody went, "Uh huh, okay, fine." And then he said, "And here to introduce the deal is Steve Ballmer." Boom. And 6,000 people collectively went, "Oh, wow!" And he walked on stage, and there was a lot of amazement.
Expecting to fly on or something, did you?
Well, and there were no chairs.
Okay.
Okay. He walked on stage and everybody was surprised. And do you know what? I know it sounds weird, but there was quite a lot of elation.
Yeah. Because Microsoft are busy partnering with everybody in the business, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I think that's perhaps a slightly unfair way of putting it. But yes, it's true to say that everyone who isn't Apple and Google, Microsoft seems to be corralling into this kind of this third alliance, the third ecosystem, as Nokia and Microsoft talked about it. And this particular case, yes, part of it was about the BES server, but actually it was also about Bing services. And the announcement was that every future BlackBerry device would ship with a Bing application, which incidentally is going to rather look like the Windows Phone Metro UI, but it means Bing Search deeply integrated into the BlackBerry platform, plus Bing Maps, which actually is effectively Nokia Maps. And so that suddenly gives them a very big leg up in the kind of the service space, in that ecosystem space, and we all know that's important. And I think the way to sort of explain this very quickly and simply is, think about it on all the Nokia smartphones, all the BlackBerry devices, that's going to be around 40% of the market share in 2012. You know, you can talk about the figures and where that's going to go, but big chunk anyway. And all of those, Bing will be the default search engine, Navtech Maps will be the default maps. That represents a sizable portion of the mobile ecosystem. And compare that to what you have on the desktop, where Google is the dominant search, and I think probably the maps provider as well on the web. And so it's certainly a very big competitive threat to Google. So I think Microsoft, yes, they are aligned with everyone, and they've just bought Skype, so more of that stuff going on. But it's changed from the situation 6 months ago where it was Android and iOS were the mobile ecosystems everyone talked about. Mm. And suddenly Microsoft, Nokia and their various partners are being taken a lot more seriously as this kind of the third ecosystem. And I think it is a compelling and more convincing argument.
So my problem with all of this is that in that soup of announcement...
You have a problem.
I have a problem. I risk to register a complaint. In that soup of announcements, this mishmash of confused, directionless kind of noise, there's some clever stuff. Like partnering Microsoft, that makes sense to me, and I think that that's kind of a good idea. Tying your bandwagon to somebody whose ship isn't sinking is probably a good idea, and I think the Nokia-Microsoft deal is the best show in town in terms of, you know, where to be. But look at the rest of it. You've got a new tablet, which is on a new operating system, which is half finished and doesn't work properly.
You mean there's no native email on it of today?
Let's come back to that in a second.
Okay.
You've got...
What does it say? You say half finished?
Half finished, yeah.
That's what you mean, right? There's no native email.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Like what?
Well, they haven't released the whole range. You haven't got this choice. You've got to...
What do you mean, release the whole range? The playbook is out. Great. And there's a 4G version, a 3G... That's fine, that's coming, but the playbook's out. What's the problem?
Well, the okay, so the
playbook... Ah, so there is... Ah, so here we go. What is your issue with the playbook?
There's no apps ecosystem built up already, so you have to settle for...
There's quite a lot of apps on there already, and they also demonstrate Android apps working beautifully.
But isn't the whole fact they've got Android apps on there a way of saying we admit we're not going to get
a good
enough developer ecosystem on our own.
So there are apps there. Next point, Mrs. Smith.
But
doesn't
that tie them in very effectively to Android? That's they have to now follow that, and that is kind of a tie that you want to avoid if at all possible.
And also, if I'm a developer now who develops for BlackBerry, what do I develop for now? Because I just have RIM, who were my friends, they were my business, have just given away the marketplace by allowing all of my competitors who already had stuff on Android to come into my marketplace and eat my lunch.
And
they've just given me this brand new platform, which I don't know, which I've got to learn how to develop for.
Well, I mean, Adobe Air, Adobe Flash. I mean, they actually showed a lot of Flash games, just cut and paste immediately. Boom, works.
Yeah, but that's fine for lightweight content. But people who are building proper native, enterprise apps, which let's face it, the playbook is targeted at, are going to need to learn how to write for the QNX platform natively.
If they want to do it, they don't have to do it natively, right? You could use, I don't see why you couldn't do quite a lot of cool stuff in Air and in Flash, or even using their WebWorks framework.
So now I've got a ton of different ways.
Choices, yes.
Not just choices, but I've got to make commitments now before I know anything about the future of the device or what's going on or anything like that. So we've got this sort of confused strategy where Android's been introduced on the playbook.
Yes.
But actually, it might not be around for very long because they're suggesting that it's going to be a bit limited, and actually that's not really where they want to happen.
No.
Also, the playbook, as you said, it's released. Hey, playbook is here.
Yes.
But actually, not a playbook that I can really use, a playbook that I can only tether it to my BlackBerry. So we talked about
wait a minute, you can use the playbook. It's working, it's right here, you can use it.
But Ewan, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially it's only worth owning a playbook if you have a BlackBerry device.
I think it's very much, I'll use the same word again, it's enhanced, the experience is enhanced if you have a BlackBerry. If you want email on your playbook today, if you want to be able to write emails on it and not use the browser, then you need to have a BlackBerry, yes.
It's enhanced in the same way as my life is enhanced by breathing in and out.
So the bridge thing basically means it's effectively an accessory in the mould of the Red Fly from past years. And that may change in the future, but this is about
now. So right now, if you want to get semi-native email on your playbook, what you do is you hook it up simply, but it does work really, really well. I need to show you. It's utterly elegant. It takes about 10 seconds to go click, click, done, and your BlackBerry and your playbook is synchronized. And then a little screen appears, a little option on the desktop there on the playbook appears called BlackBerry Bridge, and that gives you some new icons. It's messaging, contacts, calendar, and it pulls those messages straight through secure Bluetooth connection from your BlackBerry, and it's near instantaneous. It's brilliant. So when mail arrives and your BlackBerry arrives immediately on your playbook, everyone's a winner.
So for people who aren't familiar with the playbook and BlackBerry Bridge, the crucial thing here is that most other tablets are synchronized back to an email server. So they connect over Wi-Fi or over 3G, and they go direct to the server, and you get your email. And actually, the tablet and the phone behave in the same way, but they both get their email from the same server. On the playbook, you go via the mobile phone.
Yes.
Yeah. And so when my BlackBerry runs out of battery, my playbook doesn't do email anymore.
Or you just use a browser if you need to.
And I think that dumb terminal issue has a sort of bigger implications in that using it on a plane, that's out because of various regulations.
Well, if you try using email on your iPad, it's a nightmare. It can't find the server.
Now, there are some usability issues on the iPad.
Yeah, well, hold on a minute. You're using this as it doesn't work on an airplane. Using email on an iPad is stupid on an airplane because you try and send it. It says, I can't find the mail server. Well, obviously, because you switched off. Because I still can't find the mail server.
This is a device from BlackBerry who are all about messaging. We expect the email to just work all the time. It needs to be perfect because ultimately, it's going to have its lunch eaten on the kind of the multimedia consumer side by the iPad, which has a better app experience. And BlackBerry need to be doing better on that PIM side.
Yeah. So, and also, it's one your criticism of the iPad's right, and I'm not championing the iPad as the right thing to buy, and the playbook is the wrong thing to buy. But sending offline email on the iPad is awkward. But what I can do is I can sit on the plane and I can read. I can go through my email. I can read it.
Yes.
I can remind myself what my diary is when I'm going to land. Or let's face it, even if my phone dies and I don't have a hotspot, I don't have Wi-Fi, the thing works. The information is there for me to use. On the playbook, though, as soon as your phone's off, or as soon as your phone's run out of battery, or as soon as the link stops working for some reason, that's it. That device no longer has any access to any of that information.
Right, which is a wonderful, wonderful viewpoint from a security standpoint, right? That's why a lot of enterprises are reporting that as a really nice feature, by the way, right? Because it's entirely secure, that connection. It's like having a real VNC or VNC connection into your email. Now, before you interrupt and try, let me just kill all your ridiculously ill-conceived, is that the right word, Ray? Yes, ill-conceived arguments, stone dead by saying, today your playbook does not have native PIM, right? Personal information, contacts, and email. Doesn't have it today. In a subsequent update, it will have native contacts, calendars, and email.
Oh, what a colossal relief, Rafe. This reminds me of some other large manufacturer who releases something incomplete and half-assed and then says, don't worry, there'll be some software along to fix it soon.
I can't possibly think who you mean, Ben. No. But yeah, I think that's a big issue. It's kind of
cut and paste.
You know, bread now, bread later. That's an issue. And fair enough.
They demonstrated it, right? At BlackBerry World, they demonstrated native email working. The contacts and calendars coming. Yeah, I think it'll be a couple of months and we'll have it there.
Fair enough. It's on the way, but it's an issue now. I think this ties into a kind of bigger issue for me in that when it was originally pitched, and you know, the playbook was all about enterprise. It was an enterprise solution. It almost feels like over time that shifted and it became more of a consumer product because of the iPad factor. You know, that, you know, people, as Ben said, they were looking at the price and saying this or this. Mm-hmm. And do you think that's almost been a mistake for them to sort of push it more into the consumer multimedia side? And if they'd left it as a pure enterprise play, it might have had that more traction and people would have maybe been more accepting of the failures and some of the things we've been talking about.
I think you make a very good point. Yeah, it's very valid. I don't think they've got a choice, though, right? I think they're the market, the shareholders, everyone is demanding that you must have a solution, right? Even people are banging the table saying, "Where's Nokia's tablet? Right? Where's Nokia's Windows tablet?" I think BlackBerry didn't have so much of a choice here.
It's almost a perception issue.
Yeah. Let's wrap up our playbook chat because I want to talk about the OS 7 and the new BlackBerry and why that's broken as well.
So you admit that all your points were, you know, vacuous and irrelevant.
So just recap very quickly: the playbook is not rubbish because. I'm sorry, we're out of time. So, basically, you know, what as it stands, though, the BlackBerry playbook is... There's only one model of a range that's come out. I think we can agree on
today,
that.
Today, currently, yeah, yes.
And also that the software load is incomplete. So, well, you've
talked
about...
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
You know,
yeah,
okay, the BlackBerry have admitted that there are some crucial functions that they've already acknowledged are going to come out. So if you're going to buy this device... I personally wouldn't touch it with a barge pole because of that lack, but you're saying actually the fact they've made those announcements gives you confidence that this is a product which is going to mature into something competent.
Right, just to be clear, the playbook came out a couple of weeks before BlackBerry World, right?
Yeah.
And then they announced Facebook, for example, as an update and said it's available today. Boom. And it was. And then they announced there's a... I forget what the update. They announced an update to the playbook there and there on the day, and it became available. So I actually got my playbook, put it onto Wi-Fi, and a new update was sent down to it immediately. So they are, you know, doing regular updates. So I don't think it'll be long before we see all these little things corrected. And so I don't think it's as long as you're a BlackBerry user, I think the playbook's a good choice.
But I think that's interesting because let's move on to talk about the 9900, which is the new BlackBerry handheld device they've announced, and that's an evolution of the Bold devices you might be aware of. It's that popular BlackBerry shape, but it's a new version of the software. It's a new OS 7. It's a new version.
And
perhaps you tell us a little bit about that in a minute. But crucially, it's not running the same software as the playbook. And RIM have already announced that the software that the playbook runs, this QNX platform that they've purchased, that's going to be the platform of the future. That's what future handhelds and tablets are going to run.
Right, yes. Yeah. So, there was an element of, you know, the audience were delighted to see the new 9900. They were fawning over it. It's very nice. It's a lot faster. Operating system version 7 removes the little kind of timer that you sometimes see with 6 and fixes a lot of those bugs. It is very nice, and the touchscreen works lovely. However, the excitement, the impending joy that a lot of the enthusiasts, the BlackBerry enthusiasts, like the team at Crackberry, for example, crackberry.com, very big BlackBerry fan site, their news site, they're looking for the superphones.
Right. What's a superphone?
Superphone, as far as they're concerned, a superphone is a next generation handset running QNX from BlackBerry.
And for me, this is why, however pretty the 9900 is, however specced up it is, however good the touchscreen is, it's already dead in the water. Because BlackBerry have made the same mistake that Nokia made when they were introducing new platforms, which is they've announced that QNX is... They've announced this new platform.
Well, there's an intent. I mean, obviously the intent that QNX will come to... The handset, but at the minute...
But they've announced it so far in advance that now that anything new that's produced is a kind of a stopgap.
Well, they haven't... I don't think they've actually announced it. I think you can't help but say, well, look, is this your ongoing strategy? Yes. Will you bring this to handsets? At some point, yes. Doesn't mean the 9900 is a shit handset.
Not a terrible handset, but why would you waste time investing and... Right,
okay, well, why would you go and buy an HTC Sensation, which comes out next week, running, 2.3, when 3's already been announced? Or 3. Whatever.
But the difference between some of the other platforms that are competing with BlackBerry is that those are incremental evolutions that may be upgrades. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about here is not, version 8's coming along, because version 8 is always coming, and then version 9, and then version 10. We're talking about saying, at some point, fairly soon, in the foreseeable future, the software in our latest Shiny device is going to replace all this old stuff over here. And you've got now this kind of orphaning process where... Developers are going to have to change. The world's going to have to move on. And, well, you know, it's on a par with the Nokia situation, isn't it, Rafe? Where they had to ditch the old, and just completely go with the new and all the pain that happens in the meantime.
I think you can draw a surface similarity here.
which is Rafe's way of going, no, Ben, not really.
Yeah. Not a surface similarity.
Somebody of subpar intelligence may believe that.
I know. I do think it's a fair point. I mean, in the particular case of Nokia, you know, we're talking about the Symbian and particularly the abandonment of MeeGo as the kind of next generation and switch to Windows Phone instead. I think Windows Phone is more ready for use than QNX is, and particularly if you look under the surface at Windows Embedded 7 Core, which is what Windows Phone effectively runs on, that's significantly more mature and trusted than QNX in the mobile domain, at least. And we should say that QNX is, well, a mature platform for use running, I think you said, power stations.
Power stations, cars, utilities, very important stuff.
But in all of this, I mean,
put that in your pipe and smoke it, Mr. Smith.
Well, I tell you what, when I walk into my BlackBerry room, when it's surrounded by screens and a big, you know, control network, and this is rubbish. This is the maturity that QNX has in that means nothing in the mobile space whatsoever. They're completely different. The things that are important about running power networks are completely different to what's important on running phones.
Well, I tell you what, it makes me feel better.
But in all of this, I do think there's
power stations.
PR hot air.
In all of this, there's two important points I would make. One, that consumers don't necessarily care about operating system versions and technicalities. And I do agree with you, there is a developer issue and a service issue. But these days, so much of it is what the consumers think, and the service element, a lot of that's sitting on servers. So there's a definite sense that you can, you know, do a new breakaway. And, you know, there's a no-win situation here. The old software is no longer suitable. And the same is true in BlackBerry and Nokia, you know. Looking at the Symbian is a good case in point. You know, that started off 10 years ago. It was really designed for a different era when there were more resource constraints, when the idea of what a smartphone was is very different. And, you know, there comes a point at which that legacy that you're carrying with you outgains any, you know, benefit you get from it. And I think it's an inevitability about any platform. I think it's very noticeable that both Symbian and RIM are the older manufacturers. Their platform, their software is older, and therefore it's the stuff that needs replacing. And I'm absolutely sure that in time that Android and iOS will face a similar problem. For something like iOS, you can look at the UI, and actually I think it's replacing the UI there that's often the most serious.
Dire,
isn't it? Yeah. That's what breaks applications and services. The bits underneath matter less. So it'll be interesting to see how much compatibility BlackBerry can bring for QNX, particularly with the sort of the Java demand that goes on. But I mean, I do agree it's an issue, but I think it's possible to overplay this. And in one sense, they have to be doing this. I think that you could have a question, have they done it quickly enough? And I think probably the answer there is no. And you could say the same thing about Nokia. But there is a balance between there's value in keeping your old legacy stuff going as long as possible. And, you know, BlackBerry are doing that with OS 6, OS 7. Nokia doing that by keeping the Symbian 3 device. And after all, they're still shelling a load of devices. They are the two biggest smartphone manufacturers. And they're preparing for the next generation now. And I think, you know, Android and iOS and anyone else may face that same issue. And in one sense, I think there may be an advantage to moving first here. I think it's very difficult to see, especially as it's not just about software platforms. It's about everything else that you add on top, the services, the developers. And so there's no one simple way of looking at it. But I actually think it is a very important point. And the big question is, can BlackBerry deliver in time? They're talking about a 2012 timeline. Frankly, I think that's optimistic for delivering Kirin Exton to mobile phones. And I think BlackBerry is under more time pressure than anyone else. Nokia decided they couldn't do it on their own with MeeGo and so gone with Microsoft, which actually gives them more breathing room.
Yeah, I think they've just got to sort their messages out and make things clearer. Because right now, you've got BlackBerry 5 in the market, which is in handsets that is kind of up to 18 months old. You've got version 6, which is kind of the current shipping today release, which had a load of bugs and problems with it, but, you know, sort of didn't really, to be fair, add a lot of value to the end user over version 5. You've got version 7, which was just announced in BlackBerry World, which is not going to be backwardsly compatible, but is going to ship on the new devices. And you've got the QNX platform for the tablet devices, and you know with some degree of certainty, and it depends who you listen to, you and I are granted, but, you know, there have been enough announcements that suggest that BlackBerry handsets are going to have QNX on them, like the tablets in the future, that you've now got this kind of such broad array, and you're cycling through software versions at such a speed that trying to support users, trying to maintain a portfolio of apps as an enterprise, trying to control all these things and understand what works well, what doesn't work, is such a pain in the backside. I would say stop, simplify, get QNX nice and mature in a tablet platform, you know, standardize and mature up, you know, what you've got now. Stop releasing new OS iterations that aren't backwardsly compatible, that, you know, mean I've got to replace all this hardware. Get your stuff together and sort it out, because at the moment what you've got is a real soup and a mess.
I think you're right in many ways. I think they need to be doing this faster. They need to be doing it a lot quicker. So faster and quicker, right? Different viewpoints there. I think a lot of it is a mess, particularly if you're a developer. But you know what? I'm encouraged they're actually doing something. I have for the last couple of years been banging my head in the table at Nokia for not doing anything, and then getting to a point whereby they didn't have a choice. It was either Android or Windows. There's no choice whatsoever. They couldn't do anything. I think RIM have, you know, at least taking control, but yes, I'd like to see a lot more clarity from them.
Okay, so we need to wrap up because we're well over time, but we've talked around a lot of kind of areas, and let's try and draw some sort of conclusions out of this. And I mean, I'll go first, but for me, the problem at the moment is that BlackBerry are doing a lot, but not going anywhere. They're pedaling really hard, but everything is fanning out in opposite directions. They've got a new platform which is delivered on a part-finished device which isn't working properly. You've got several versions in the marketplace of devices. You've got a developer community who don't know where they stand because they have so many different development platforms, and now Android is going to compete with them on the tablet devices. BlackBerry's not lost, but they're doing all the stuff that Nokia did before the Microsoft deal, which was lots of disjointed, panicky reactions. And I don't see a kind of an encouraging, coherent story about what's BlackBerry going to be in the future. And for me, if they don't sort their shit out, frankly, then they're going to need to do something as seismic as the Nokia-Microsoft deal, just to recapture hearts and minds, even before you think about what technology is right and what platforms are right. And that actually completely ignores the fact that we haven't talked about their consumer services, which are a separate dimension altogether, and we don't have time. Mm. But, you know, are completely separate from anything that we've talked about so far.
Well, Mr. Smith, how I would react... Well, let me give you a reaction to that.
And we're out of time. No, sorry, I can't do that to you.
Thank you. Thanks. I think... Yeah, I would like to see a lot more, as you say, cohesive strategy. I like to see things a little bit more rounded, a little bit nicer. from BlackBerry. I do agree the Android appears to have been, this Android announcement on Playbook appears to be quite knee-jerk in a, I don't know who at RIM allowed a tablet to go into market without native email. I mean, right, I do agree. I don't think it's a bad thing, especially if you're a BlackBerry user, right? But that really damaged the viewpoint from a lot of people. And I think that does point to, I mean, I wonder who's managing this whole thing and this whole vehicle. So I'd like to see them streamline this. Just, in fact, you know what? I'm agreeing with you in a lot of ways. How about that?
Oh, consensus. I dislike consensus immensely. Rafe?
Well, I'm actually going to disagree with both of you.
No,
because
consensus. Right,
I've actually been very sceptical about BlackBerry and RIM for a long time. I expected them to die much sooner than they actually have. In fact, I've been really impressed that they've survived this long and actually a strong number two in the market. And I think it's important, you know, it's worth remembering what this company has achieved in the past against, I think, the odds. And its sort of brand recognition and its strength in that core messaging market remains very strong. And I think particularly in that enterprise market, it's going to be hard to shift because, you know, it's as an incumbent, especially in the enterprise space, that takes time to disappear. In one sense, I actually think its bigger threat is probably from Windows Phone than anything else, and Android,
yes,
which it seems to be putting itself up against now, and iOS. And that'll be interesting to see. And so, yes, it's easy to be very skeptical. And BlackBerry's or RIM's problem is they've been caught out, like everyone else, by this explosive growth of smartphones into the consumer space, and they haven't been able to satisfactorily address it yet. They then have this software architectural problem. But I don't think that's unique to them, the fragmentation issue that you were talking about. Yes, it is serious, but it's not unique to BlackBerry. And I think they may be in a position to actually do something about it. And so, like almost every other company, it's kind of a how well they execute on their vision, what they do next is important. Mm. And yes, I do believe you're right when you say they are sort of scattergun at the moment. They need to focus down. And I would say to them, look to your core strengths rather than trying to be all things to all people, because, you know, you're not big enough to do, you know, the everything play. But that doesn't mean they will disappear, because, as I said, 5 years ago, I would have said that BlackBerry were in a much worse position than they are now, and yet they've survived, they've thrived even. And so I'll sort of end on that note of optimism, despite the fact I do think they are issues that, you know, need to be addressed.
So as Rafe goes misty-eyed, thinking about all things BlackBerry, gents, thank you very much for your time. I don't think we're going to reach a conclusion here, but it would be interesting to follow up in a few months' time. Interestingly, we are off to see the nice people from Microsoft to hear about Windows Phone 7.5 very soon. That's going to come up in a forthcoming podcast. Hopefully, we'll get some Microsoft people to talk to us about it. Be really interesting to see the different energy and the clarity of messaging, to see really is this new and emerging platform actually going to give this, you know, this old mature platform a run for their money. I've my view, you and I know you differ slightly.
Well, I'd just like to say that RIM rocks, right? I think we'll see some. Okay, I'll stop there.
Okay, right. There's enough cheerleading as ever. Disagreement always fun. Rarely concluded. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this probably somewhat extended version by now. As ever, if you've got any comments or feedback, or if you just want to tell us that we're talking nonsense, then please leave comments below wherever you find this, on Wireless Worker, on Mobile Industry Review, on All About Symbian, on the 361 Degrees podcast, or just send carrier pigeons generally in the direction of Surrey and I'll collect them. Thank you very much for your time. I hope you're enjoying this, and look forward to recording the next one on Windows Phone. Cheers.